So. There are a few people I haven't seen before, but I.
Oh, really?
All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Lamed Dalet. We're going to pick up on the Mishnah on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. So says the Mishnah, Arava Gizula V'Yevesha Psuma. If you have an Arava that is stolen or that is dried out, it's possible. Shala Shera, an Arava of an Asherah tree. But again, we spoke about the Asherah, which is a tree that is used for Avodah Zarah, for idolatry. Mishnah Yerani Dachas, or that comes from Yerani Dachas. Yerani Dachas, remember, is a city in which the majority of its residents worshipped idolatry, and the city must be destroyed. And all the property of the city must be destroyed as well. Psula, such an arava is not good. Niktam rosha, if the top of the arava was clipped off, or nifritsu aleha, or the leaves fell off, or for that matter, that saftsafa. Saftsafa, we will see, is a willow-like plant, but yet is not kosher to be used for the mitzvah of lula. That's called a tzaftzafa. Psula, all these things are possible. Kimusha, if it's withered. Vishinashu mitzas aleha, or some of its leaves have fallen off. Vishalbal, or for that matter, a willow that grows in a field. Now, what the Mishnah is highlighting over here is that the way the Torah describes the willow branch is arve nachal. So arve nachal means these aravos that grow by a brook or that grow by a stream, because that was the most common habitat for these willow type of branches. Remember, again, I want to be clear, the Torah is not referring over here to, let's say, branches from what we call like a weeping willow tree. That's a different type of willow that's not used for lulav. These are things that really come from what we call like an arava bush. So these normally would grow ultimately from a by a stream, but if they were growing in a field, that's what it means. Shalbal, we'll actually see this later on more in Moikon. Other Mesephthos, Sedeh HaBal refers to a field that is irrigated through natural means, meaning through rainfall. I shouldn't say irrigated. It's sustained through rainfall, as opposed to a Beis HaShalchin, which is a field that is only nourished through irrigation. So if you have aravos that grow in a field, they're also kosher. Fine. Says the Gemara, let's analyze this. When the Torah goes ahead and calls, first of all, I didn't explain certain things because we've already had them before, like Yerani Dachas, Avodah Zarah. We've already seen that these type of items are possible. Because why? Because Mechtas Kitusei Shu'urei. Because ultimately, since they're only to be destroyed, they are lacking in the sufficient Shi'urim. They're lacking in the sufficient measurements or dimensions to be able to be used to be Yotzei Mitzvah. So says the Gemara, Tarabanan, Arvei Nachal. When the Torah calls the willow branches that are supposed to be used, Arvei Nachal, aravos that grow by a brook, Hagedelin Ala Nachal, it means that literally they have to grow by the brook. Rashi says, Arvei Nachal Hagedilos Ala Nachal, Nachli Mayim Mitzvah Bezu, Umir Shabal Kshera, Kidlakaman Kidiksev Arvei Lashon Rabbi. So also what's interesting is, the Gemara points out over here, that although we will see later on that Lamaisi, you can go ahead and you can use aravos that grow, good morning, that grow anywhere, but l'chadchila, one should try to go ahead and use arvei nachal. One should try to use the aravos that grow by a brook. The Gemara says, arvei nachal gdina al-nachal dabar akar, arvei nachal, sha'ala shalahen, sha'ala shalah, mashoch kinachal, or another possibility. Why does the Torah call these willow branches arvei nachal? Because the leaves are elongated, like a brook or like a stream. So we'll say we will see this stands in contradistinction to what the Mishnah calls the tzaftzafa. The tzaftzafa has leaves that are more rounded. So such an arava is not kosher, cannot be used for the mitzvah of lulav. But again, it has to be arvei nachal. The leaves must be elongated. Tanya idach, we have another brice that supports this. Arvei nachal. I only know that I could use these willow branches that grow by a stream. How do I know that I could even use the aravos that grow literally in a field, middle of a field, not next to a body of water, or for that matter on mountains? So what the Torah picks up on is that, what the Gemara picks up on is that the Torah uses a plural lashon over here. Arvei nachal. The aravos of, as opposed to arav nachal, arve nachal, indicating that you can use many different types of aravos, even those that don't grow directly by the stream. So the Gemara goes like the top of Lamed Daled Amud Aleph. Abba Sholom, Rabba Shol says, arve shtaim, achas lelulav, v'achas lemikdash. So Abba Shol says, the fact that the Torah uses a plural lashon arve tells you that there are two different mitzvos of aravos. There is the mitzvah of arava by Rubov and the mitzvah of arava by the Beis Hamikdash. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Abasho Omer, arve damar kra lo lahachshir shalbal ba. What's interesting is the following. In the previous brisa, the Gemara understood that the reason why the Torah uses lashon of arve plural is to teach you that what? That there's more than one, I call it type of arava that's kosher. Now it has to be the same family of arava, but as opposed to arenacha, which indicates aravas that grow by water, arve, the plurality of the lashon, indicates that even if it grows elsewhere, same species, that grows elsewhere as kasher. Abishol disagrees. Abishol says the plural lashon, the plural verbiage, is coming to teach you that there are actually two different usages for the arava. There is the arava that's taken as part of the lulav, as part of the dalin meaning, and there's the arava that's brought. I'm sorry. No, so that's interesting. He's not. When he says one, he means one mitzvah, but that one mitzvah is still going to be comprised of two willow branches, as we'll see. There's one mitzvah that's performed by the dalin meaning, by the lulav. And there's another mitzvah that's performed in the Beis Hamikdash. Look, so again, look at Rashi. Arbe dekamar kra lo lahakshir shalbal bo, el landecha shetzarech shtei mitzvah shal arava. There are two mitzvahs for which arava is used. Achos la'agda b'lulav. One is to go ahead and tie it into the lulav bundle. The achos l'mikdash, and one is in the Beis Hamikdash. La'hakiv es ha'mizbeach k'damrino l'kaman perek lulav v'arava. And we'll see later on that they used to take the aravos and they used to circle the altar, the Mizbeach of the Beis HaMikdash, every single day. Every single day. So there's one mitzvah of Arava in the Dalet meaning, and there's one mitzvah of Arava that you would take to circle the Mizbeach. Abba Shol sees a scriptural allusion to the two mitzvahs of Arava through the plural lashon of Arvei Nachal. V'Rabbanon l'Mikdash m'nalahu. And where do the rabbis know that there is a concept of circling the altar with the arava each and every day? And I will say, we will see, this will be a sugya later on. We'll talk about the mitzvah of circling the mizbeach. So now the Gemara is asking, Abishol learns it out from the pasuk of Arvei Nachal. Now the Rabbanon, we assume, is the opinion reflected in the earlier braisa, so use Arvei Nachal to teach you what? That you could get aravos either if they grow by the water or elsewhere, as long as they're of the same species. So where do the rabbis learn out this idea that there is a concept of circling the Mizbeach with the Arava, to which the Gemara says, Hilchasagim Yodahu. According to the Rabbanon, it is what we call the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, meaning it was transmitted by Moshe to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, and therefore it's not written in the text. Dom Rav Asi Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Eser Netios, Arava V'nisu Chamayim Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, because Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Asi and Rabbi Yochanan, that there are these three things were commonly mentioned as examples of Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Eser Netios. Eser Netios means 10 saplings. We'll say quickly, what this means is like this. The halacha is that comes the Shemitah year, you are not permitted to go out and work your land. Now, what the rabbis add in is an additional, there's a concept of, what's actually midoraisa, there's a concept of mosifin mikodesh ha'achol, or mechal ha'kodesh, I should say. That ultimately, just like Shabbos, we start early. Yontiv, we start early. We start Shemitah early also. So already 30 days before Shemitah, one is already not permitted to go ahead and work the land. However, there's one exception. The exception was to this case of if you have 10 saplings within an area of a base saw, which is 50 amos by 50 amos, which is considered to be pretty closely planted. So the idea is, this type of field, if you stop plowing it already 30 days before Shemitah, the saplings will die. Therefore, again, there's a halacha l'moshe misinai, gives an exception to this particular thing. You can't obviously work it on Shemitah itself, but you can work it on the 30 days prior to Shemitah. So that's halacha l'moshe misinai. Arava, the concept of going ahead and circling the Mizbeach with the Arava over the days of Sukkot, that's just the Arava, not the other meaning. And Nisuch Hamayim refers to the water libation. This was the pouring of the water on the Mizbeach, which was a special service on Sukkot, which is not mentioned in the Torah. So all these three things are examples of Halacha Moshe Misinai. I will say, we don't really care about Eser Netios, nor do we really care about Nisuch Hamayim right now. What we care about is Arava. So the rabbis learn out the concept of circling the Mizbeach with the Arava, not from the plurality of Arvei Nachal, but rather, again, because it is a Halacha Moshe Misinai. Tan Rabbanon, Arvei Nachal, Hagadilos Al Hanachal. So the Braisa quotes, Arvei Nachal, Torah calls the willow branches that are used, Aravos of the stream, It teaches us that they must grow from by the stream. Prat litzafzafa hagedela ben aharim. And I will say, as we just already saw before, it's not coming to exclude if the same type of arava, if the same type of arava ultimately grows elsewhere. What it's coming to exclude is this tzafzafa. This tzafzafa, again, is this willow-like, is this willow-like plant, but instead of having elongated leaves, it has rounded leaves. The Torah is coming to exclude that. Amar Rav Zeira, Mikra, what's the pasuk that seems to indicate that tzafzafa is inferior? Because tzafzafa is still in the willow family. So why would it be excluded? So the Gemara explains, quotes the pasuk over here from Yecheskel. And the Navi says the following, Kach alamayim rabim, Kach alamayim rabim, tzafzafa samo, which was literally translated, he took that which grows on abundant waters and set it up as a tzafzafa. So again, Kach alamayim rabim, he took that which grows on abundant waters, tzafzafa samo, and set it up as a tzafzafa. So Rabbi said, what's happening over here is the following. Now, what does this have to do with anything? So Amar Abaye, v'dilma perushi kamefarish. So Rabbi said, here's what's happening. The Navi is rebuking Klal Yisrael. We'll see the nature of the rebuke in just a moment. So I'm not going to explain it to you now. We'll see it in just a line. So Abaye says, well, maybe. So here's what we have. Kalish Baruch Hu says, I took that which grows on abundant waters, and instead of turning out the way I wanted it, it turned out as a tzafzafa. So Abaye says, one second, maybe the pasuk is coming to explain what is that item that grows on abundant waters. Amar Abaye, v'dilma perusha kamefarish, kach amayim rabim, what's the item that grows on abundant waters? Umaynihu, tzafzafa. And if that's the case, again, the pasuk could be used as a proof that what? That tzafzafa should work for the mitzvah of dalet minim. Im kain my samo. If that's the case, then why do you need that word samo? Set it up. Amar Rav Yavo, Amar Kalish Baruch Hu, this is what it means. Ani amarti sheyuhu Yisrael lefanai kikach alamayim. So Kalish Baruch Hu said to Yecheskel, you know, I wanted Klal Yisrael that they should be for me like something that is normally taken from abundant waters. Kikach alamayim rabim umaynihu arava. I wanted Klal Yisrael to be something that was an item that grew in abundant waters. And what was that? That was the arava. That is the arava. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to be like an arava, which is considered to be, I guess, a vibrant plant in the eyes of the Ribono Shel Olam. And what happened? They came samo atzmon kitzaf tzafa shebaharim. But they made themselves like what? They made themselves like a tzaf tzafa that grows by the mountains. So that's the nature of the rebuke. HaKadosh Baruch Hu planted us in a way like something which grows on abundant waters, i.e. an arava. He wanted us to be like an arava. And what happened? We made ourselves like a tzafzafa. So what do you see from this pasuk? Now again, pasuk has nothing to do with sukkah. But what it does tell you is that what? That tzafzafa is an inferior plant. That tzafzafa is an inferior plant. And therefore, Rabosai, because the whole essence of dalet minim is hiddur, is beauty, we're not going to use an inferior plant for dalet minim. Others set up, others establish this pasuk to correspond with our Mishnah. The pasuk says, he took that which grows on abundant waters and set it up as a tzafzafa. I shouldn't say shmo, samo, excuse me. Maskif Rabbi Zera. So we'll say same exchange, just arranged a little bit differently. Rabbi Zera is a kasha. Maybe the pasuk is coming to explain. Kach. Amayim Rabim, take that which grows on abundant waters. What is the item that grows on abundant waters? Mainu. It's a tzafzafa. So I will say, if that's the case, then the pasuk would actually be telling me that tzafzafa is usable for the dalet minim. I am kein my samo. I'm Rabbi Avo. I'm Rakadosh Baruch Hu. Ani amarti sheyisol lefanei kikach alamayim rabim. I wanted Klal Yisrael to be like that which is taken from abundant waters. Umaynihu. And what is that? Arava. The Haim Samu Atzman Kitzafzafa, but yet they made themselves like Atzafzafa Shebaharim. Tan Rabbanan. Ez Shabbos say, now here's what we've established. We've established you can use an Arava, you can't use Tzafzafa. So now we have to explain what. So what is the Tzafzafa? So the Gemara is going to give us some very important details. Tan Rabbanan. Ezu Arava Ezu Tzafzafa. What is an Arava? What is a Tzafzafa? Says the Gemara, Arava Kana Shala Adam. The arava, its stem a branch, I don't know what's the, we'll call it stem. Stem. Stem is red. The ala shela mashuch. And furthermore, again, its leaves are elongated. So it has a red stem, and its leaves are elongated. Upia chalak. And the edges of its leaves are smooth. Okay, so red stem, long leaves, smooth edges of the leaves. That's an arava. Tzavtzava. On the other hand, what is a tzavtzava? Kana shela lavan. Its stem is white. Va'ala shela agul. And ultimately, its leaves are rounded. Now, again, agul means, it doesn't mean literally round. It means rounded. Rounded. Upia dome lemagol. And its edges are like a saw, meaning that they're serrated. Not sharp per se, but again, they have a look like serration. Ay, v'hotanyo. But we learned dome lemagol kosher, dome lemasar pasul. Ay, but we learned elsewhere that if an arava, if its edges are like a sickle, it's kosher. If it's like a saw, then it's pasul. So I'll say just quickly, what does that mean? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi is v'hotanyo dome lemagol kosher. Magol kotzer pigimasa kula notos litzad echad. Akumos klape yad beis yacha. So we'll say the way a saw, at least a sickle, at least the way the Gemara's sickle looked, is that the edge was serrated and the teeth of the sickle faced inwards towards the handle. So if you have an arava that has a serrated edge and the serrations face, inward in this case would mean towards the stem, then such an arava is kosher. On the other hand, Masar Rashi says, he megira shekorin shiko, pigimusa holchos nochochto, velahen shnei uktin echad mikan ve'echad mikan ki pigimo sakin. On the other hand, a saw was actually the other commentary's face, it was more like a tooth. It had two serrations, and ultimately they were pointed downwards, not pointed inwards. So the Bryce is, so what the Gemara is asking is like this. The Gemara makes it sound like over here that in order for an arava to be kosher, the arava must be totally smooth. And yet we learned elsewhere, we have a Bryce that says that if the edges of the arava were like a mago or like a sickle, they had serrations, but the serrations were bent inwards towards the stem, then it's kosher. It's only if the serrations are like a saw that it's possible. So you see some level of serrations are permitted. Amar Abaye, kitanya hahi bechil fagila. So Abaye says, no. That Bryce that talks about a serrated edge of an arava, that's talking about a very specific of arava called bechil fagila. Look at Rashi. Rashi is talking garsina mashkachas la bechil fagila. Second white line in Rashi. Below garas mashkachas la bechil fagila min arava ksherehi upia doma lemagol aval shar arava pia chalak. So the Gemara says inachinami. There is a type of arava called the bechil fagila, and the bechil fagila family of aravos happen to be unique because again they have red stems, they have elongated leaves, and they happen to have a serration on the edge. But that is a specific type of arava. Generally, aside from the bechil fagila, an arava has smooth edges. Amar Abaye, shmamina, hay bechil fagila kasher l'hashana. So Abaye, what do you see from here? You see from here that a bechil fagila can in fact be used. Can it that be used for Hoshana, for the purpose of, Hoshana in this case means, for the purpose of Dalin Minim. So the Gemara says, Pshita. Okay, that's kind of obvious. Why is it obvious? Because the Gemara just said you can use the Chilfagila for Arava. So why do you mean, when the Gemara makes a statement like this, or when Abaye makes a statement, when Abaye says, Shmamina, learn out from this, it sounds like Abaye's, trying to advance some type of Chiddush. There's no Chiddush, the Gemara just explicitly said it. To which the Gemara says, no. Mao de tema, what would I have said? Hoil ve isle shame lavai, lonis kashem. Bose, I might have said that since this, see, the Torah calls aravos arvei nachal. So I might have thought, what's the only type of arava that's kasher for lulav? Something that's known as arvei nachal. But something that has shame lavai means an added name, an additional name. Since the chilfa gila has an added name, i.e., what's the added name? Chilfa gila. Chilfagila, that's the added name. It's not just called an arava, it's called the Chilfagila. So I might have thought, therefore, it's not usable because it's not just known as an arava. Kamash malon, no. Kamash on that, even though it has this additional name of Chilfagila, lemais at the end of the day, you could still use it. Ve'ema hachinami. I, but say, but maybe no, maybe I shouldn't use it, because at the end of the day, it is not known as an arava, but instead it is just simply known as a chilfa gila, to which the Gemara says, arve nachal amarachmana mikol makom. Oh, this goes back to what we said before, that the Torah uses the plural lashon of arve nachal, many types of aravos. So as long as at the end of the day, an item really is part of the arava family, even if it has an additional nickname like chilfa gila, the mice, it's still going to be kasha for our Rava. Amar Rav Chista said, Hani tlas mili, ishtani shemayo michichara besamit. Shavuot said, it's very interesting. Rav Chista said, these three things, their names were changed when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Shavuot said, this is an interesting idea. What the Gemara is trying to highlight is the following, that the trauma of the Beis HaMikdash was such that even language changed. Even language changed. We know that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed again, certain things were forgotten. The loss of the Beis HaMikdash was traumatic for Klal Yisrael. Our wording changes, our language changed. So here you have Rav Chista saying three things. There are three things that would change their names after when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. What are they? Chalafta, Arafta. Arafta, Chalafta. So we'll say again, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi has a little bit of a different girsi. He has Chilfa. Chilfa, Lav Hainu Chilfa, Gila. Ela tzaftzefa. So we'll say, listen to this. Chalafta is a tzaftzefa. So what's interesting is the following. Before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, tzaftzefa was called chalafta, and an arava was called an arava. Now that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, arava is called the chalafta. Now we'll say, this is very interesting. So what it's saying is, before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, a tzaftzefa was called the chalafta, and an arava was called an arava, which is very helpful. Why? Because then I know arava means the kasher one. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, for some reason, the Tzaftzefa was called Arava, and the Arava was called Chalafta. So the Gemara says, my nafkamino, who cares? So the Gemara says, it's very important. Lululav. It's actually exceptionally important. Why? Because after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, if you go into the store to purchase Aravas, just be aware that what will you be purchasing? A Tzaftzefa, which ultimately will not be valid for the use of the Dalet. Similarly, Shifura, Chatzot Rasa, Shifura. Before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, a shofar was called the shofar, and Chatzot Rasa is a trumpet was called the trumpet. Again, it's not like a trumpet that we have today, but it was a long metal utensil that was used also to produce a sound. So what happened when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? Chatzot Rasa Shifura. A shofar was known as Chatzot Rasa, and the Chatzot Rasa was known as shofar. My nafkamina, what's the practical difference? Oh, I'll tell you, the shofar shall Rosh Hashanah. Because it was saying, in the aftermath of the destruction of the temple, if you were to go and to say, let's blow the shofar, colloquially, what would that mean? What would that refer to? That would ultimately refer to the trumpet and not to the shofar. So in the aftermath of the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, you would actually want to ask for Chatzot Rasa if you were looking for a shofar. Pisarta, Pisura, Pisura, Pisarta. And I will say, both of these things, Psurta and Psura, mean table. Psurta is a large table. Psura is a small table. After the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the names got mixed up. So the Gemara says, Lemaynafkamina, what does it matter? Lemeka chumemka. Oh, you know what it matters for? It matters for business. It matters for business because just know, if you go to buy a Psurta, a large table, just know in the aftermath of the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, that means a small table. So for business purposes, you have to know the exact terms with which you are dealing. Amar Abaye, Abaye said, Af ani omer, I also say, Bekasi hovlila, hovlila bekasi. Rabbi said, these refer to different stomachs of the animals. Remember, again, an animal, a cow, has four different stomachs through which it processes its food. So the Gemara says again, and these are different. Bekasi refers to the stomach. Refers to the. I think it's technically the reticulum. It's the stomach. Why it's called the chamber of cups? Because it has ridges that make it look like cups. So before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Bekasi was the Bekasi. The Hovlila, which is another one of the stomachs, is the Hovlila. After the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Bekasi, the reticulum, is called the Hovlila, and the other stomach is called the Bekasi. I will say the Gemara says, "L'may nafkamina, you know, what does it matter?" Oh, you know why it matters, Rav Osai? Because the halacha is like this. The halacha is, if you find a needle, here, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, if you skip down a little bit to the last two lines of Rashi, Tchuba ba'ov yavalo nikav, nekav mafulash kasher. Sha'ove sosmo, umagin mishnei tzdadin. Sha'nekev mafulash trefa ba'osu makom. Uba'osu shkorn achsa ba'isakosos. In chilk, mostly listen to this. If an animal has a needle in its stomach, let's say an animal swallows a needle, and the needle perforates the stomach. Mm. So the halacha is like this. If it depends where that needle is, in the base coast, also they call the reticulum, the stomach has a thicker wall. And therefore, now obviously you only find this when you shut the animal and open it up. So let's say I find the needle in the stomach of the animal. So the Gemara says like this, if you find the needle in the reticulum, if the needle did not pierce all the way through, the animal is not a trefa. And remember, trefa is an animal that has a blemish from which it would have died as a result of. Now, the animal's dead now because you shechted it, but if it would have died, that makes it a trefa. So if you find a needle that, let's say, is embedded in the reticulum but did not go all the way through, that animal is not a trefa. If the needle pierced all the way through, then the animal is a trefa, you'd not be able to eat it. On the other hand, in the other stomachs, if you found the needle that was in the stomach, even if it did not pierce all the way through, the animal is a trefa. Therefore, the Gemara says you have to be very careful. Because why? Because again, before the Beis HaMikdash, the Beikasi, which is the reticulum, was called the reticulum, and the Hovlila was called the Hovlila. After the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so what happens? The Beikasi, the reticulum is called Hovlila, and the other stomachs are called Beikasi. So what does it matter? L'machat hanimtza ba'ovi Beis HaKosos. I will say it matters a lot because today, if you were to find a needle lodged in this wall of the Beikosos, even if it did not pierce the Beikosos, it would be what? It would render the animal a trefa. Why? Because the Beikosos no longer refers to the reticulum, it refers to the other stomachs, which would render the animal a trefa, even with a needle embedded in the stomach itself. Which is interesting. Amar Rava Bar Yosef. Rava Bar Yosef, I'm going to add another one. Afani Omer. Offering Omer, Bavel Borsif, Borsif Bavel. I'll tell you, there's another one that's changed. The place called Bavel used to be called Bavel, and Borsif was Borsif. And now in the aftermath of the Beis HaMikdash, that Borsif is called Bavel, Bavel is called Borsif. So Marcel Lamay Nafkamina, what does it matter? Legite Nashu, for divorce. Now I will say, again, you know, when you see this, you automatically assume that, what does that mean? It means in terms of recording the name of the place, that you have to go ahead and write the correct name. But the truth is, that's not really it. Why not? Because the truth is, for getting purposes, when you write the name of the place, it goes by what the place is known now. Meaning it could be that, you know, Baltimore wasn't always called Baltimore. Maybe historically it was known as, I don't know. Be more. Right, thank you. Right, whatever it was. But Lemaisa, Baltimore, right? Lemaisa again, it doesn't matter. What matters now is what it's called now. So therefore, what does it mean for getting purposes? It's very interesting. Look at Rashi quickly. Rashi is legite nashim. We'll get to this in getting that if one brings a get from chutz la'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, you have to say b'fanei nechtav u'b'fanei nechtam. The witnesses have to say this get was written and signed in my presence. Im yishum dein mitzuyin l'kaimo v'im yishum dein mikin l'shma. The reason you have to do that without getting into all the technicalities here is that, again, there was an issue that people outside of Eretz Yisrael were not necessarily proficient in writing a get l'shma. A get has to be written for the sake of a particular man, a particular woman. I mean, you can't go and get a pro forma get. So because of that, witnesses would come and say the get was written and signed before me, which essentially was attesting to what? The fact that the get was written l'shma. The Gemara says, Amir Hasam, Bavel Keret Yisrael Legin, Lefi Shehein B'nei Torah, U'Bekiyen L'shma, U'Bnei Yeshiva Metsuyin Leilech V'Lilmod Misham Torah Mikol HaMakomos. Shabbos, interesting enough, there's another reason also, which is, because often the witnesses who sign on the get might not be around to attest to the validity of the get. So therefore, the person who brings the get ultimately says, I know the witnesses, and I am upholding the witnesses' signatures. So the Gemara says that Bavel was like Eretz Yisrael for getting purposes. Because in Bavel, remember, there were great yeshivas in Bavel. Therefore, they knew how to write a get. They knew how to write a get l'shma. for the sake of the matter, for the sake of a particular woman. Mm-hmm. And there was also constant traffic because people came through in Torah and Eretz Yisrael from all over. Mm-hmm. And therefore, again, there'd be people who would be there ultimately to uphold the signatures of the witnesses. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Ubursif Samach Babel. But interestingly enough, there was a place that was next to Babel by the name of Bursif. And in Bursif, the Inan B'nai Torah. Bursif did not have a knowledgeable community. Inan B'nai Torah means that they were not knowledgeable. It was an ignorant community. Kidar Minan, my Bursif, where did it get the name Bursif? Bor Sheshafu Es Meimav V'lo Nishtayir Bo Klum. It's actually quite amazing. The name Bursif came, Bor means a pit. Sif is a play on word Sheshaf. They drew all the water out of it. Or in other words, Bursif means empty pit. Once they explain this, real estate prices go down, right? Or it could be bore also, like ignorant. It could be that also. It could be that also. Therefore, bless you. Therefore, again, Avosai, if you bring a get from Bursif, you have to say b'fanei nechtav u'b'fanei nechtam. Therefore, aval achshav sheneschalev shmam, hilcha hamevi mibavel tzar shiomar u'b'bursif tzar. So we'll say outside. Essentially, if you were to go ahead, if you were to go ahead and bring a get from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, you don't need someone to say b'fanei nechtav u'b'fanei nechtam. You don't need someone to attest to the fact that the get was written correctly. Why? Because the assumption is any get that emanates from Eretz Yisrael was written correctly. Similarly, if a get emanated from Babel, you also did not need someone to attest to the validity of it. Why? Because in Babel, they knew what they were doing also. The assumption was any get that was written was valid. But Bursif, if you were to bring a get from Bursif, you would need some independent corroboration that the get, in fact, was written correctly. Now the Gemara says, Rava adds on, that after the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, the names Babel and Bursif were changed. That the place that was once known as Babel was now known as Bursif. The place that was known as Bursif is now known as Babel. Therefore, Rava says you have to be careful. Therefore, if you were to bring a get from present-day Bursif, what would be the halacha? It's fine. You would not need to say b'fanei nechtav b'fanei nechtam. But if you were to bring a get from present-day Babel, which is in reality what? Bursif, you would in fact need to attest to the validity of the get. Okay. Well, so let me just tell you, just halacha l'maisa. Halacha l'maisa in the Arava case. Actually, you know what? I'll do everything together at the end. Says the Mishnah. So again, that was the Mishnah of Arava. So I'll just discuss again how we deal with Arava halacha l'maisa. Says the Mishnah. Rabbi Shmuel says Shlosha Hadasim Ushte Aravos Lulav Echad VeEsrog Echad. Rabbi Shmuel says that for the mitzvah of lulav, you have to use three hadasim, two aravos, and one lulav and one esrog. One esrog. Afilu Shnayim Kitumim VaAchad Eino Katum. And Rabbi Shmuel says, and the truth is, if with your two hadasim, even if two of them are clipped on the top and one of them is not clipped, it's still kosher. Rabbi Tarfa says, I'll do even better. Afilu shloshtam kitumim. Even if all three tops of the hadasim are clipped, the hadasim are still kosher. Rabbi Akiva says, kishem shalulav echad ve'estrag echad, kach hados echad ve'arava echad. And Rabbi Akiva is an interesting shita. Rabbi Akiva says, one is the magic number. Just like there's one lulav, there's one estrog, there's one hados, and there's one arava. And that's all. So says the Gemara. Tanya, Rabbi Shmuel says, Pri Eitz Hadar, Echad. So we're going to analyze the Rabbi Shmuel. What did Rabbi Shmuel say? Rabbi Shmuel said, ultimately, again, one Lulav, one Esrog, three Hadassim, two Aravos. Just the unique thing that Rabbi Shmuel said is that two of the Hadassim can be clipped, and one, as long as one is intact. So says the Gemara, where do we get this from? Where do we get the three, two, one model? Says the Gemara, Tanya Rabbi Shmuel, Pri Eitz Hadar, Achos. So when it comes to the Esrog, what does the Torah say? You have to take a Pri Eitz Hadar, singular, one Esrog, Kapos Tamarim. We already spoke about this earlier. Kapos Tamarim also means one. I also remember, we already pointed out that Kapos is not plural. It's because it's vocals, we vocalize as how? As Kafos. So it refers to one palm branch that ultimately could be closed together. Anaf Eitz Avos Shlosha. Anaf Eitz Avos means three hadasim. Now, where does he get three hadasim? From the number of words. Anaf Eitz Avos. So because remember, all of these things you could have expressed that using much less verbiage. Three words means ultimately, again, three hadasim. Arve Nachal is what? Shtayim, why? Why? Because two words. Va'afilu shnaim ketumim va'achad sheino katum. I have Rabbi Shmuel, so when it comes to the hadasim, even if two of them have clipped tops, as long as one does not, it's okay. Rabbi Tarfon over shlosh afilu shlosh don ketumim. Rabbi Tarfon says, I agree with you, Rabbi Shmuel, that you need three hadasim, but I disagree, because whereas you need one of them to be fully intact, I hold that all three could be clipped at the top. Rabbi Kiva says, kashim shalulav echad ve'esrog echad. And on the other hand, Rabbi Akiva says, same way, there's one lulav, one asrog. So there's only one hadas and one arava. Amar le Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer said, Yochol yehe esrog imayin ba'aguda achos. Rabbi Eliezer said, if that's the case, so really he's talking to Rabbi Akiva. And he says to Rabbi Akiva, at the end of the day, Rabbi Akiva, what you're really doing is you're linking this whole thing together. You're saying, just like there's one lulav, just like there's one estrog, there's one hadas, and there's one arava. Maybe what that means is what? Maybe it means you should also include the estrog in the bundle. You know, Boss, the same way that we bundle together the lulav and the hadas and the aravas, maybe I should bundle the estrog in that also. To which the Gemara responds, V'chi ne'emar pre-hates adar v'ka post tamarim? Does the pasuk say you should take an estrog and a lulav? Is there a vav? Is there a vav? Which should be a vav achibor, a connecting vav. Is there a connecting vav that connects lulav to esrog to lulav? V'halo lo ne'emar ela kapos. So we'll say the Gemara gives a very interesting answer. Had the Torah said ulakach to lechabi amar rishon pre eitz hadar v'kapos tamarim, I would have said what? The vav connects and tells you that what? That everything is all part of the same bundle. But it doesn't say that. Instead, what does it say? Pre eitz hadar kapos tamarim. So it's almost like pre eitz hadar, semicolon, not even just a comma, a semicolon. So you'll take an esrog, that's by itself. Oh, and then kapos tamarim anaf eitz avos arvei nachal. So the Gemara says the following: chinar pre eitz hadar kapos tamarim v'halol lo nemar ela kapos uminayin shema akvin zeze. But how do we know? So now I know we've established that you have kind of lulav, hadasim, and aravos bundled on their own, and esrog is not bundled with them. But how do I know that if you're missing any one of the four, the whole mitzvah is compromised? So I'll say, how do I know that, let's say, if I don't have the esrog, I can't take the lulav with the hadasim and the aravos? How do I know that? Or for that matter, again, if I'm missing any one, see, Rabbos, like, if I'm missing the hadasim or the aravos, that's easier to understand why I can't do the mitzvah. Why? Why? Because it's part of the bundle. But how do I know that, for example, even esrog, which is not part of the bundle, if there's no esrog, I don't take the lulav with the other species? To which the Gemara says, "Vulakachtem shetehei lekicha tama," because the pasuk says, "You shall take them," and the Gemara says, "Vulakachtem" is almost like a contraction. It says, "Lekicha tama." It must be a complete taking. You must be able to take everything mentioned in the verse, and if you can't take one of them, then the mice again without one, there is no mitzvah. Rabbi Shmuel Amar Rashi. So I will say now, the Gemara goes back and asks Rabbi Shmuel. Remember, Rabbi Shmuel has a strange shita, because remember, Rabbi Shmuel says like this. One lulav, one esrog, two aravos, three hadasim. When it comes to the hadasim, two of them can be clipped at the top as long as one of them is intact. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Marav Shach. Ish leimin boi, li boi namikulu. If Rabbi Shmuel holds that the hadasim must be intact, then all of them should be intact. Ilo boi shleimin, or I should say, it's wrong, it's not ready to say intact, I should say whole. If he requires them to be whole, then all of them should have to be whole. And if he doesn't require them to be whole, then what? Afilu chad nami lo. Then why? It's mean, I don't want to say, again, one or the other. Either hadasim have to be whole, they don't have to be whole. If they don't have to be whole, then if they have to be whole, then they sure have to be whole. And if they don't have to be whole, then what? Then what? Then why does he require that one of the three be whole? To which the Gemara says, Amar bira, Amar Rabbi Ami, bira sinai Rabbi Ami, chazer bo Rabbi Shmuel. You're right, Rabbi Shmuel retracted his position. He recanted. Look at Rashi. Chazav Rabbi Shmuel, mitchilas tvarav, umekasher bechad umir hadarbay. Rabbi said, at the end of the day, Rabbi Shmuel retracted. And at the end of the day, Rabbi Shmuel says, you only need one hadas. You only need one hadas. But, the one hadas that you need requires what? Requires whole, requires hidur. And the beauty expresses itself in its being whole. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, halacha k'Rabbi Tarfon. The halacha follows Rabbi Tarfon. What did Rabbi Tarfon say? Rabbi Tarfon said, how many hadasim do you need? You need three. But what did Rabbi Tarfon say? Lemaisa, they can all be clipped at the top. The Asinav Shmuel says, that the halacha follows Rabbi Tarfon. So the Gemara says, "Va'az de Shmuel la tamei." Shmuel goes according to his reasoning. The Amar lehu Shmuel, because Shmuel said, "Let's listen to this." Shmuel, this is very interesting. Lahano de mezab me'asa. So Shmuel spoke to the Hadassim. Shmuel had a conversation with the Hadassim merchants, the myrtle merchants, and he said to them the following: "Ashvu vizavinu. You better make sure to charge fair prices." He was warning them against price gouging. I will say again, you could remember the amazing part of the Dalet meaning is the Hadas is worth, you know, about 5 cents a month before Sukkot, and it could be worth much more, you know, in the weeks leading up to Sukkot, and it's worth 5 cents after Sukkot again. So Shmuel said to the merchants, be very careful not to price gouge. V'ilo, because if you price gouge, if you don't listen to me, darshina luchu k'rabi tarfon. You know what I'm gonna give a shir. And in the shir, you know what I'm gonna publicize? I'm gonna publicize that the halacha follows Rabbi Tarfon. And I will say, remember, what do the Hadas merchants charge extra money for? They charge extra money for whole Hadassim. She said, be careful, because if you price gouge, I'm gonna tell people that really you can also discharge the mitzvah with incomplete Hadassim, even with Hadassim that have been clipped at the top, which are much easier to find than whole Hadassim, and your whole business is gonna go down the drain. Now, Bosa, again, remember, I wanna be clear. Even Rabbi Tarfon, who holds that you could use Hadassim with the clipped tops, agrees that what? L'chatchila, you should use whole Hadassim. Right? Because again, clearly the whole Hadas is certainly more mohudar. It's certainly more beautiful. So Rabbi Shmuel was saying, again, I want the people to do the l'chatchila, and therefore I want them to buy the whole Hadassim. But if you price gouge, I will tell them that they could buy the clipped Hadassim as well. So the Gemara says, my time, ma'ilim mishum de mekel. If you want to say it's because that Shmuel's trying to be mekel. V'lidrosh lehu halach k'rabi akiva de mekel tfei. To which the Gemara says, well, I have an idea. If you want to be more mekel, paskin the halacha follows Rabbi Akiva. Because what did Rabbi Akiva say? What do you need? You only need one hadas. To which the Gemara says, no, I'm going to tell you why this is a better kula. The Gemara says, t'lasa kitume shchichi chad velo katum lo shchiach. In fact, Rabbi Tarfon is more mekel than Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva and now Rabbi Shmuel both hold that what? It's true. You only need one hadas, but what does that hadas have to look like? It has to be whole. So in fact, Rabbi Tarfon is the most mekel approach. Because according to Rabbi Tarfon, although you need three hadasim, those hadasim could what? Could actually be clipped at the top. And in fact, says the Gemara, it is easier to find three clipped hadasim. And again, obviously, assuming we saw in yesterday's daf, the other criteria for hadasim, which ultimately is what they have to have the three buds, or that was actually the end of Friday's that, but we did it yesterday. So you have to say three. With all the other criteria, it is easier to find three hadassim with clipped tops than it is to find one whole hados. So let's go back to. We'll read the Mishnah, then we'll finish, and then we'll do just two pieces of halacha. Actually, let me just read to you the halacha right now. So just for the hadassim and the aravos, not all the halacha, just these two pieces. Let's start with the hados. The halacha of the hados is Niktam Rosho Kasher. We paskin, in fact, like Rabbi Tarfon, that if the tops of the hadas were clipped off, we paskin, first of all, we take three hadasim, as you know. We paskin, therefore, like Rabbi Tarfon in all sense, we take three hadasim. But if the top, this is in Simin Tov Resh Mem Vav Sif Yud. If the top of the hadas was clipped off, it is kasher. Afilu lo also botamra. Interestingly enough, even if the berry we saw yesterday's daf also the berry sprouting, even if the berry did not sprout on top, v'yesh poslin beniktam rosho. Others say that no, if the top of the hadas was clipped off, lemaisa again the hadas is not kosher. And there, so how do we pass? And the Rama says v'tov lahachmir b'makom she'efshar ba'acher. So therefore again, lemaisa we paskin like Rabbi Tarfon. Therefore again, a hadas with a clipped top is still permissible for sukkis for dalet minim use. L'chatchila, if you don't need to use it, then you can use a different kind of hados. That is certainly more preferable. Now, why is a hados with a clipped top kosher? So the Mishnah Berurah comments on this, and he says something very interesting. Ve'ein dome lelulav ve'arava. We'll see arava in just a moment. What do you think about this? De'bahados anafav chofin rosho ve'ein kitimasa nikeres. Because we'll say, you know, how do the leaves of the hadas face? They face upwards. Therefore, interestingly enough, we will see the whole issue with a clipped top is that it's not beautiful. The interesting part with the hadas plant or the hadas branch is when you clip the top, very often what happens is the leaves will end up essentially covering, for lack of a better term, the stump. The leaves will cover the stump. So because the leaves will cover the stump, There is no lack of hider. There is no lack of beauty in the hadas. Therefore, halacha lemaisa, a clipped top hadas is still kosher, although the chatrila, we would try not to use it. This stands in contradistinction in Simon Tafrei Shemem Zayin Sif Beis. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Arava Sheyavsha, Osha Sherova Leha, Osheniktam Rosha. If you have an Arava and the top of the Arava was clipped, then what? Pasul, or Psula, I should say. That, in fact, is Pasul. Says the Mishnah Berurah, V'hainu Sheniktam Eitza. This is referring to what? Where the branch itself was clipped. Ava Beniktam Aleha, Av Shumei Rosha, Inaf Kamina Bazeh, V'nech Shavas Deshar Alin. Salach Lamais, again, when it comes to... Fine, it goes on to Rosh Hashanah. So, okay, so here you see the distinction. So if you have an arava with a clipped top, lemais, so again, such an arava is pasul for use. Can't be used at all. A hadas with a clipped top, even if all three are clipped, lechatchila shouldn't be used, because again, of hider, but bidi evet can be used, and the reason for that is because a hadas with a clipped top still has the ability to maintain its hider. Let's finish the Mishnah. Esrog. Esrog agazel v'ayavish. If you have an esrog that is stolen esrog, a dried out esrog puzzle, shel asherah v'shel irani dachas, if the esrog ultimately, again, is of an asherah tree or from an irani dachas, puzzle is also puzzle. Shel orla, if it's of an orla, girovose, remember, orla means the any fruit tree the first 3 years, you may not go ahead and get benefit from the fruit. So again, if the esrog is an orla esrog, puzzle, you may not use it. Again, the Gemara is going to define why all of these things are true. Shal truma tameya. If ultimately, again, you have an esrog of truma tameya. So again, truma is the portion of the kohen, and it becomes tameya. You have an esrog of a truma tameya. Puzzle, you can't use it. Shal truma tahora. But if you have an esrog, ultimately, again, of regular truma, lo yitol, you shouldn't use it. How again, however, v'imnatol, but if you used it, kosher, it works. Shal demai. What happens if you have an esrog of demai? Demai means produce. Of an Amma art, you're not sure if it's been tithed or not. So Beishamai posts, and Beishamai says such an esrog is not good. Ubeisel Masher, Beisel says it's good. Shel Meiser Sheni Birushalayim Lo Yitol. Rabbi says if you have an esrog of Meiser Sheni, you have an esrog of Meiser Sheni in Yerushalayim. Now remember, Meiser Sheni is the tithe that belongs to the owners, but must be consumed within Jerusalem. So let's say again, you have the esrog, Meiser Sheni esrog in Yerushalayim, Lo Yitol, Lechatkila, you should not use it. V'imnotol, but if you used it kosher, then it's kosher. Rabbi say again, Gemara is going to define all of these cases. Also, chazozis al rubo. Rabbi say chazozis literally means a blemish. Now, in the Gemara, we will see the type of blemish this actually refers to. If a blemish, Rashi says kmin abuba ostakos, literally like abubos or like boils, like thin boils, which indicates, by the way, that the chazozis that we're talking about is some type of raised blemish. Some type of raised blemish on the esrog. If you have a raised blemish on the esrog, or nutla pit muscle, or the pitum fell off. Now, both say, again, I want to be clear. When we speak about the pitum, it's important to understand. We often think the pitum just refers to like the dark brown bulb on top. That's actually called the shoshanta. That's called the shoshanta. The pitum actually is the entire raised part of the esrog, the stem that supports the top hardened bulb as well. That whole thing is called the esrog, which is very important because halacha maaseh we will see if your shoshanta, if the top hardened bulb falls off, but the bottom stem that supports it is intact, your esrog is still kosher. The only time that the lack of a pitum invalidates the esrog is if somehow you took out the entire stem. You really went to town on that esrog. You took out the entire stem. Then that's when the esrog is possible. We'll see that in the Gemara. Nitla pitmaso, if the pitum was removed, Niklav, or the esrog was skinned, nistak, it was split, nikev, it was pierced, chaser koshu, or it's missing any part of it, in all of these cases, puzzle. Also, chazozes amiuto. However, again, if a chazozes, if you have this blemish, but only on a minor part, on a minority of the esrog, or not la uktso, the ukats, Rabbi said, the ukats is the bottom stem. Remember, the way an esrog grows on the tree, pitom down. No. Pitom down. It doesn't grow from the pitom. Pitom down. So ultimately, again, the ukats is actually the stem that attached to the tree. If the ukats was removed, or nike below chaser, or the esrog was pierced, but there's nothing missing from it, kolshu, kosher. The aloch is its kosher. Esrog akushi. Rabbi say esrog akushi. Rashi says shebame eretz kush v'shechu, black esrog. A black esrog is puzzle. Now we'll have to define why it's possible and where it's possible. Bayara Kikarsi, what about a green esrog? Rabbi Meir Mashu, Meir says it's kosher. Rabbi Yehuda holds, Rabbi Yehuda says it's possible. Sheer esrog, what is the sheer for an esrog? Well, see, we actually saw, by the way, that machlokis Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda a little bit earlier on quoted. What is the sheer? We also saw this earlier. Sheer esrog, what is the minimum sheer for an esrog? Hakatan, the smaller sheer, Meir Omer Ke'egos. Meir says that it's as small as a walnut. Rabbi Yehuda says kebeitza. It has to be at least the size of an egg. Ubigadol, and what's the largest sheer? How big could an esrog be? Ubigadol kadesh yochas shnayim biyadov divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds, you have to be able to hold two of them in one hand. So the largest sheer it can be is to be able to hold two of them in one hand. Rabbi Yossi says afilu echad b'shtei yadov. Rabbi Yossi says no, it can even be so large that you need two hands to hold one esrog. All right, the most Emirat Hashem. We'll continue here tomorrow.
Anyway,
thank you.
Is there a charge for that?
That really means Shoshanta, but it does have
it does have dough. It depends. That's true.
I'm going to be wearing tomorrow.
Again, it's fine. Today, normally what they call off, it's almost as really
means that it's growing.
That is correct.
Okay.